Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
The reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
If you've ever had the experience of walking through a cemetery or a graveyard, looking at some of the tombstones, it's interesting to see what you can learn about individuals, about their lives. There's one I read about that is supposedly in Iron Mountain, on Iron Mountain in Tennessee. And so it's an old weather-beaten gravestone, and the way the author described looking at it is under the person's name and the date of birth and the time in which he died was this phrase: lived alone, suffered alone, and died alone. As he researched the individual, they found out that this was an individual who had had a lot of heartache in life, especially early on, had struggled with loss, and the older he got, the less he wanted to be around people. And so he had cut himself off from those around him in the last several decades of his life. It's a tragic thought to read, to think about someone living and suffering and dying alone, because we know that we need each other. We need people. This morning, as we enter into a new year, it's good for us to be reminded that in Christ, we're not alone. In Christ, not only are we always in the presence of a God who loves us, but we're also in the presence of His people. And that's significant. It's significant in a time of year where we're often thinking about setting New Year's resolutions. Maybe you have some resolutions already set this year. I think those can be very good things, positive things. I have set New Year's resolutions in the past. Some have been successful, many others I have not successfully followed through on, but even the practice itself is a good one, right? We reflect on ourselves, what we want to do better. But often when that's discussed, it's discussed in very individualistic terms, right? What am I going to do? How am I going to change my life? And so it's fitting that as we begin this new year together, that we can think about what it means to be together, a church family. What are goals that we can set as the body of Christ right here? What are some things that we can do differently, not just individually, but collectively? And so I think a helpful place for us to begin is in the passage that Ben read for us in Colossians chapter 4. Now, you may already have noticed the banners. Every year we take a theme that we try as a congregation, as a church family, to focus on. That doesn't mean that it's the only thing that we think about all year, but it just helps us to collectively have a goal in mind. And so as we think about our theme for this year, we're thinking about an open door. And there are a lot of different ways, obviously, that we can use that metaphor and that example. But we're going to begin in Colossians chapter 4. And it's striking to me that the book of Colossians itself is another reminder that we're not in it alone. We're in it together. That as Paul is addressing Christians in Colossae, he begins in the first couple of chapters by painting a beautiful picture of their Savior, of the Christ that we all serve. There was evidently some kind of teaching that was floating around that wasn't exactly accurate. And so he needed to let them know, no, this is who Christ is. Some of the most beautiful descriptions of Jesus that you can find are in the verses in chapters 1 and 2. And then he switches over to practically, how is that lived out in chapter 3? How do church families function together? And before we get to the passage that we just read, Paul had spent some time on a household code, which again is something that's common in ancient writing. But the idea is, here's how families function together. Here's how you fill out your role as a Christian. And after all of that, as he's sort of transitioning to the end of the letter, Paul reminds us of several things that are important. I think it's significant just to point out that right after he describes how families should relate to each other, how people should relate to each other, he says in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. If you ever have an opportunity to read through the New Testament and notice how many times Paul talks about his prayers, his prayer life, what he's spending his time praying about, why he's praying a prayer of thanksgiving for people, why he's praying for those who are hurting. I mean, it's incredible to see Paul's prayer life here. And he's calling the Christians to devote themselves into prayer, to be staying on the alert with an attitude of thanksgiving, that I'm always praying, I'm always alert. But then notice Paul shares a little bit of the prayer list for himself. He's asking them to pray for specific things. What did Paul desire prayers for from the Christians there in Colossians 4? Notice what he says here. Let's just think through this passage and think through the elements that Paul is praying for here. He says, praying at the same time in verse 3, for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned. What is it that Paul desires for himself? What does he want them to pray for? Now again, put yourself in Paul's place. If you're in a prison cell, what would you desire for yourself? If you're writing someone a letter from prison and you said, pray for me, what would you want them to pray for? If we got a message from someone in prison that said, pray for me, what would we assume they wanted us to pray for? Well, we look here and are reminded that Paul's saying, pray that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. What did he desire for himself? Paul desired an opportunity. He desired an opportunity not to get out of prison, not an opportunity in the sense of maybe the door will be left open or maybe I can figure a way to get out. How can I, in this place where I am, how can I speak a word for God? The mystery of Christ. In other words, how can I reveal something that they haven't known before? It's striking to me that when it would be so easy to focus on negative circumstances, Paul focuses on his opportunities. Now, I want to ask us a challenging question, and so for this really to work, we're going to have to be honest with ourselves. If I were to categorize my prayers, and if I were to try to go through what my prayer requests are, what percentage of my prayers would have to do with wanting to change my circumstances? I've prayed a lot of those prayers, haven't you? That something is happening in my life that I don't like, that hurts, that's difficult, and I'm praying for a change in circumstances. And I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for a change in circumstances. We're bringing our needs to God. It's okay for us to do that. But I wonder if I had to compare how many of those prayers were about my circumstances, and then what percentage of prayers do I say, in this circumstance, help me find a way to glorify you. Help me find an opportunity to serve you. You see the difference in focus that gives us? Paul is here in prison, and he's praying that, you know, I'm in prison. Things are limited now, so pray that I'll have an opportunity. He can't go around the way he usually would and share God's word, so pray that I'll have an opportunity for people that I can reach. We tend to find what it is we're looking for. And this year, we'll tend to find what it is we're looking for. And there will be circumstances that we face that will be challenging and difficult, and we can, in the midst of those, pray to God and say, I wish things were different. Please help things to be different. I understand that. But also in the midst of that, can I pray for opportunities? Can I pray for a chance to glorify God in a difficult situation? Can I pray for an opening, for a conversation with someone that I might never have met, or a conversation I might never have had if not for something that took place in my life? Am I looking for opportunities even in challenges? But notice what he continues as he describes what he's asking them to do. He also says that he wants to speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. He wanted not just the chance to do it, but he wanted the ability to share God's word. Not only the opportunity, but the ability to be able to say, I want to share the mystery. I want to reveal the mystery of Christ. And I want to make it clear in the way I ought to speak. See, the language here doesn't just indicate that he wants the message to be intelligible. You know, I want the people to be able to understand what I'm saying. I want the ability to share it intelligibly. He also says that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. He had a sense of obligation here that I ought to do this, and I want to make it clear. He was bound by his commission to share God's word more than he was bound by the chains in prison. He ought to do this. He's going to do this. And so he's praying for the ability to do what he ought to do. It's easy for us to focus on maybe what we would like to do, maybe what we would have been doing had things worked out differently. Had last year worked out differently, maybe I could be doing this today. Maybe I could be here. Maybe I could know this person. Maybe I could have this opportunity. But what can I do with the ability God has given me now? What can I do today, in reality, where I am, no matter how things have worked out? And then he also wants to be sure that he can make it clear in the way he ought to speak. He's asking them to pray for the opportunity, for the ability to share God's word, but also for clarity. What is it that he can make known? What can he make clear? And so it's powerful to think about these three elements here. And then notice what he says in these next few verses that we read. I think we see some of these same elements in his prayers for the Christians there. Starting in verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. But what did Paul desire for them? He desired for them to make the most of their opportunities. When they had a chance for people to see Christ living in them, that they could seize that moment. I mentioned earlier the household codes that we see, the instructions on how family members are supposed to act, and if you're in this role, how do you respond as a Christian? One of the things that does is that gives people a chance to see the way a family works that's serving God, to see the way an individual's life is transformed who's serving God. And Paul is saying, make the most of those opportunities. When you have the chance for someone to look at you and to say, why is it that you act this way? Are you able to take advantage of that opportunity? Over the last year, maybe you can think of some moments you had that just were just missed opportunities, missed chances, things we wish we could have had back. I wish I could have said this differently. I wish I could have done this differently. Well, what can I do proactively? What this year is going to present itself that's going to give me an opportunity to share with someone what Jesus has meant for me, how Christ has changed my life, how serving God molds the way I make my decisions? Am I looking to take advantage of every opportunity? And then he continues, you take advantage of those. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Not only do I want to think about my opportunities, but I also want to think about my ability to respond to everyone. Am I going to have the chance to use what God has given me in a way that I can respond to each individual? You know, we probably have a list of abilities that we wish we had, but we also have a list of abilities that God has blessed us with specifically. Now, it's a lot easier for us to focus on the first list than to think about that second list, what God wants us to have. We've already sung today, if you cannot preach like Peter, you cannot pray like Paul, these kinds of things. We can read through the scripture and say, you know, I can't be like this person, but what can I be? What can I do? How can God use me? In fact, it's interesting that we'd be humbled when we think about Paul's example and then realize that Paul's the one who prayed to God, and God said, my power is made perfect, is made complete in weakness. How am I using my ability? And then to have speech that's seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt. I think we can look at that third element that Paul mentions, being able to speak clearly, with clarity. I think it's good to reflect on here because it means this speech is going to be distinct. Now today, if someone talked about using salty language or they said they were feeling a little salty, you would think about someone saying something that's not nice, right? Saying something that's crude, saying something that's rude or that gets a response. But it's actually the opposite in the ancient world. Jewish rabbis, teachers, talked about what it meant to have salt associated with wisdom, seasoned words associated with wisdom. In fact, there's one ancient writer, Quintilian, who described salty speech as speech which creates a thirst for listening. Have you ever been around someone that you wanted to listen to? That the more they talked, the more you really wanted to hear what they had to say? Now, some people just have that ability. It's a natural ability they have. But some people, because of the gracious way they talk, the kind way that, the encouraging way that they talk, it makes you want to hear more. So it'd be worth it for me to ask, is that the kind of speech that characterizes me? When people talk to me, do they want to hear more or do they want to hear less? Are they interested in what else I have to share, or are they not so sure they want to continue this conversation? There should be something not just distinctive about the way a Christian lives. He's described the household code, the way the family should live, but also about the way Christians speak. And not just the vocabulary we use, but the way that we speak, the goals we accomplish. So collectively, as a church family, as we start this new year, let's think about some ways we can accomplish some of these goals, some desires that we can cultivate for ourselves in the new year. Let's think first about opportunities. Do we really want opportunities to serve? And if we really want them, if we're praying for them the way that Paul has encouraged the Christians to pray for him, if I'm saying that same prayer for myself, how am I going to take advantage of those? You may have seen when you walked in some postcard-sized calendars here. This is not a complete calendar of everything we'll be doing this year, but there are some key dates that are on the back here. And so I would encourage you to grab one of these on the way out, to put it on your refrigerator somewhere, maybe on a dresser somewhere you'll see it, somewhere you can keep that in the forefront of your mind. And the reason that we put all these dates out here is because we want to be planning on our opportunities. And you'll notice that some of these days will have what we're describing an open door Sunday. And that's the way that we've decided to maybe try to describe the times we're going to have fellowship meals together. We want to encourage time spent together as a church family, but we also wanted to use a phrase that reminded us we're wanting to invite people into those moments. It's not just that we want to spend time just with each other. We want to invite people in. And the open door Sunday is going to refer to what we typically think of as the church eat church schedule. And I know that it's easy, you know, that church eat church is kind of a catchy way to talk about it. And we may still talk about it some that way. But open door Sunday is what we're going to refer to those times, because we're going to have a different schedule where we will have a time together where we're eating after our Bible classes and then have an afternoon worship time. And so that's going to be a slightly different schedule, but it's also going to be a great opportunity to invite others. At the end of this month, Our first Open Door Sunday is going to feature a chance for us to listen to the Fried Hardeman Chorale. They're going to be coming here. They're going to be singing on Saturday at the Columbia Academy campus, and then on Sunday morning, they'll be worshiping with us. During our Bible class time, we'll get to hear them, and then we'll have our meal together, and then a worship service that they'll join us for as well. It's going to be a special day. It's going to be a great opportunity to invite someone to worship with us. You'll notice on the calendar that we've got an Open Door Sunday planned in conjunction with our Senior Sunday, a special time for our church family and especially for our seniors. And so we want to honor them in a special way. On July 30th, we have an Open Door Sunday that's going to be combined with an ice cream social. I mean, that's a great opportunity, right? Who doesn't want to be invited to eat ice cream? What a great opportunity to invite someone to be with us. And then we're going to do some similar things to what we've done this year. On October 29th, one of those Open Door Sundays is going to take place the same day that we'll have our trunk or treat that afternoon. At the end of the year, we're going to end the year with one of those Open Door Sundays as a way of reaching out maybe to people who at the beginning of a year are thinking about spiritual things. What I'd like for us to do, if you're looking at this list of things, is not just keep this in our Bibles and not just mark this on our calendars, but to put this on our prayer list. What do you think would happen if we all committed to praying for every time there was something on this list that was an open door or we could reach out to someone? What would happen if we committed to praying for those things, to praying for souls that we would get to come in contact with as a result of that, conversations that can happen? You'll also notice on this postcard a couple of things that we've talked about already, but are going to be opportunities to reach out to others in mission work. The trip to Arizona that's coming up in just a few months, opportunity to work with the Salt River congregation there. This summer, we've been praying for the Loveless family in Ocean Springs, and we'll have an opportunity to participate and to help with the work there in Ocean Springs. There are going to be chances to reach out to people. Am I praying about taking advantage of those opportunities? And just as Paul emphasized constant prayer, we need to be constantly reminded of those opportunities and also about our ability to participate. It's one thing to have a list of things that are taking place, but do I really desire an opportunity that I can use my abilities to serve others? Am I really prayerfully planning on how I can use the abilities that God's given me? One of the reasons we have this list of dates is so that we can not only put them in our prayer list, but also on our calendars, that we can plan accordingly. And you know, if I want to have the ability to serve God, that begins with me making myself available, with me turning my life over to service to God. Paul gives us an incredible example of someone who has made himself available, even to the point of being in prison. Am I making myself available to serve God? Now, none of us are going to be able to do everything that this church family does. That's one of the blessings, I think, of being a part of a church family that's doing so much. None of us is going to be able to be part of everything, but we can all choose to use our abilities and be part of something and be connected. You know, we have a lot of priorities as we put our calendars together for the year. And if I'm putting my calendar together, if I'm prioritizing what I'm going to do, here are the things I want to accomplish this year, here's what our family's going to do, here's what our family schedule looks like, here's what my personal schedule's going to look like. If I don't make serving God a priority, if I don't carve out time personally that I can be growing spiritually, and if I don't carve out time that I can be working alongside my church family, alongside my brothers and sisters, if I don't do that, if I don't prioritize that, then do I really expect I'll be able to take full advantage of opportunities that come my way? If I haven't planned on that, if I haven't prayerfully considered what I want to do, if I allow everything else to take priority over the work of the church and over my own personal spiritual growth, can I really be surprised if it gets to the end of the year and I haven't made the spiritual progress I've wanted to make? And I haven't been able to take advantage of some of those opportunities? Again, not all of us can do everything, but can we commit to being available this year for the work of the church? Not because we want to make a big name for Graymere and we want to say how great Graymere is, but because we serve a God that loves us and has commissioned us in a similar way to the way Paul felt bound to serve. We're bound to serve the God who saved us. Am I willing to commit to be available for him? It's easy to be available for a lot of other things around me. Can I commit to being available for God? And am I willing in those moments to speak with clarity about what I believe? Am I willing to stand up and say, you know, this is what Scripture teaches. These are what my convictions are, and I'm not afraid to share that. Now, that requires me knowing what I believe, having really thought through, what does Scripture teach about this specific subject, or how am I going to respond to that? In this year, in some of our Sunday morning sermon times, we're going to focus on the clarity of what Scripture teaches. Can I articulate what I believe as the moral landscape of the culture around me continues to change? Can I articulate why I believe what I believe about worship? Why I believe what I believe about the way the church operates? Can I speak with clarity, not saying I've got it all figured out and listen to me, but saying, here's what God's word says clearly. We're going to try to focus on preparing ourselves to do that even better this year. We have opportunities. God's given us ability. Am I willing to speak with clarity? You may also have noticed some of these connection cards that are in the foyer areas. Let me encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up some of these. This is an easy way to invite people to come into worship with us. It's an easy way to take advantage of opportunities you've been given, because none of us is in this alone. I hope we're making personal New Year's resolutions, but I hope as a congregation, we're resolving to walk through some open doors. What is one open door that you're going to walk through this year? Are you willing to commit to walking through an open door, to trying something new? Maybe it's a ministry you've never been part of before. Maybe it's a conversation that you know you need to have and you've just been putting it off, and now here's the opportunity, here's the chance that you have to walk through it. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at examples in Scripture of what happens when people walk through open doors that have been created. And it'll allow us an opportunity to reflect on our own lives. It was just a few days ago, I read one of those posts that you see online, and it just kind of makes you stop in your tracks. It was a post from an individual, a faithful Christian, who'd had a big impact on my life, in my childhood as a student. And he was letting us know of a difficult news he'd received from the doctor, and he responded in faith. He responded just the way that I hope and pray I would be able to respond in that kind of circumstance. But what followed was something that was pretty incredible, because this person is an educator, and he'd come into contact with a lot of students over the years, and there was an outpouring of individuals that were just talking about all the ways that he'd modeled Christ for them, all the ways he'd impacted their lives. And I just had to sit and just read. I mean, there were hundreds of responses, stories that people were telling. And what I noticed was the stories, some of them were big, major moments. As an educator, sometimes he was dealing with kids who were going through some major difficulties at home, or he had some that he had to discipline, and he was dealing with them in that sense. But a lot of them were just small interactions But they remembered 20, 30, 40 years later that they could look back on and say, you know, I'll never forget when this took place at this specific moment. I just started thinking about all the opportunities we have. And the fact that if you were to look at his schedule as a teacher and as an elder in the church where he served and all those kinds of things, it probably looked day to day like a typical schedule, like just your usual, here's what you've got to do, here you're going to work, now you're doing this. But he was changing people's lives because he was modeling Christ in all of those little opportunities as well as the big ones. There are going to be some big open doors this year, but there might be some doors that look pretty ordinary, that look just like a conversation you have with someone, that look just like a moment that you take out of your own day, out of your own time and your own concern to give, to pour out for someone else. But it's one of those little moments that could impact someone's life. And not just for this life, but impact them for eternity. Am I willing to walk through those doors? Am I willing to pray for opportunity and ability and clarity to share God's message? It is a blessing to know that we're not in this alone. And it's a blessing to know this morning, if you feel as if you're in it alone, if you feel like you need to completely turn your life around, to put Christ on in baptism and to respond in a life of obedience, we'd love to talk with you about that. We'd love to help you, assist you in that, or maybe you just have more questions and we could sit down and study with you. It may be that you'd like to pray with a couple of our shepherds right after our service is over this morning. If you want to go out this doorway, there'll be a couple of our shepherds who'd love to sit down and talk with you, pray with you privately. Let's be considering this year the doors that we're going to walk through in service to God. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.